But we come now to the second wonder that will appear in heaven in chapter 12 of the book of Revelation, and is the great dragon. Some of the scriptures I wrote in the paper, some others we will do reference. I will read then verse 3 and verse 4. They are from King James, and I have another translation here on the pulpit also, so that we will compare a few things. And here is what God says in Revelation chapter 12, verse 3. And there appear, and remember, this is the vision that John is not any story, is not somebody telling. Remember, John was promised by the Lord Jesus that he will be alive until the end of the world. And people wonder, and I have discovered that here is what it is. He saw an eye, the very end of the entire world, and visions as God presented. So here is another vision. And there appear another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great dragon having seven heads on and ten horns and seven crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. You know, almost in your mind already have the picture of the birth of the Lord Jesus. Now, so the second wonder, God's going to give them seven wonders, which I call seven personas, seven types to John. The seventh wonder that appear is a great red dragon. Now, who is he? Is my question, and the answer is in verse 9. So, if you go to Revelation 12 and verse 9, the Bible tells you who is that dragon. It says, "So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan." And so, we don't have to really think about it. It's called the old serpent, the devil, and Satan. Now, I question myself, why is he a picture in red color? When I was little, my mother trying to scare me because I was a little rascal. And so she said, the devil's going to come in. And she had a picture of the devil in red with a fork. Have you seen that? And said, when you sleep, they're going to pinch you. And boy, I don't want to sleep alone. I remember I was 6, 7 years old. And why is the devil in red? Well, I have an idea in John Gospel chapter 8 that I want to will satisfy my heart because it is red is the color of blood. And he was a very murderer from the beginning, say, John Gospel, chapter 8, and verse 44. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning. And so a murderer, a bloody man, all right? And so therefore, I think that's the picture. Why is he pictured in the Bible as red? Now, in the text that we read, they have seven heads and ten horns, according to chapter 12 of Revelation and verse 3. And upon his head are seven crowns. Now, what all of these really means and there? Now, these are the emblems of universality and power and dominion. The crowns are the kingdoms and so on, and he will have that kind of dominion. I will call it the sevenfold perfection of power. There is nothing that can resist him. Reminds me then of the book of Revelation, where speaks so well about Satan. Revelation chapter 2 and in verse 2. Ephesians chapter 2 in verse 2, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Now, Satan is not a little angel. He has his armies, and we're going to see later on in these successive studies how he was dethroned of heaven, and we're going to see it today, not only alone, but with angels. And he is the power of the air, the spirit, who now works in the sons of disobedience. And so it is powerful. Look at in John Gospel, in chapter 12 of John Gospel, and in verse 31. Here's it. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. So when God talks about him, he talks about an angel of power. Now look at in chapter 14 in same Gospel of John and in verse 31. But that the world may know that I am the Father, and the Father gave me commandments, so I do. Arise, let me see. That's what I want. That's not the verse that I really want. Let's see 16:11. All right, 16 chapter 11. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. That's the verse, ruler of this world. So when the Bible it talks about then Satan recognizes how devastating in his power, in his rule. And so the picture here, the great dragon, seven heads, 10 horns and 7 crowns, is indication of his great and mighty power. Now, in verse 3 here, Revelation 12, the Bible said, and another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diadems on his head. Now, if you check chapter 13 in verse 1 of Revelation, the Bible said, then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horn 10 crowns, and on his head the blasphemous name. And so therefore I will say his 7 heads, the 10 horns, and the 10 crowns associate, this dragon is associated with the beast that comes in the next chapter out of the sea. Now, these features, who are common to both, common to the beast and to the dragon, reveal the fact that there is some relationship. I can't figure out yet until I advance more in the studies, but there is some relationship between the dragon and the beast. And it's part of the incarnation problem. This verse is telling us the real struggle in heaven at the incarnation, and we're going to see it in a minute. Now, the reason for this conclusion is that the beast does not appear on earth until after the dragon is cast out of heaven. And so there is a difference there between the beast and the dragon. Now, in verse 4, we find here the stars of heaven attached to his tail. Do you see that? Reveal the fact that Satan will take with him in his expulsion from heaven a third of the angels of heaven, for the angels are spoken as a star. And you can look that in the book of Job in chapter 38 of the book of Job in verse 7. Job 38 and in verse 7, it said, when the morning stars sung together, talking about the stars of heaven, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. It's, the angels are called, the stars are things, they are no individuals, they don't sing. So the stars are a name for the angels, and therefore, together, when he was decreed to leave heaven, then he took one third of heaven of the angels with him. Now, Matthew 25, you go with me to Matthew 25 in verse 41, give us the clue of these angels that will be cast with Satan out of heaven. Matthew 25 in verse 41. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you curse, into the everlasting fire, prepare for the devil and his angels. So it's not the devil only that God is preparing his final destination in hell, but also for his angels. And so Ephesians chapter 6, remember that beautiful expression of God, the revealing the unknown world, Ephesians 6 chapter 12, if I get here quickly, 6 and verse 12, said to us these, for we do not wrestle against flesh and against blood, but against principalities, against power, against the ruler of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of the wickedness in the heavenly places. And so that verse tells us that they will not be visible. You don't see an angel. They are not visible. The Bible says invisible. But they will really secretly sow the seeds of rebellion in the hearts of people. And ultimately, they will be cast with Satan into the lake of fire. Remember, the Bible said, prepare for them. Now, I have to say, we are not told that these are Satan angels. And one thing I noticed, the Satan angels were never cast in the bottomless pit where Satan was cast. And so I want you to make that notation in your mind. Now, in Revelation chapter 12, verse 4, John tells us that the dragon stood before the sun-clothed woman, ready to devour her child as soon as it was born. All right, remember, and right here in Revelation, tell us that as soon as that child was born, let me get to, this Bible's a different language, and I get it. Okay, here it is. Revelation in chapter 12, and look at verse 4. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them into the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now, it's obvious and it's clear this is talking about the birth of Jesus. Let's go to Matthew's, my favorite gospel to describe everything you need to know of Jesus. And you will see there in Matthew 2 and in verse 13 what happened when Jesus was born. The Bible said, now when they had departed, Jesus was born and worshiped in was about 1 year and 8 months, or 1 year and 9 months. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And so the intensity of Satan's attack, because he knew what that child will do, was extremely great. In Revelation, he just gave a glance picture, like a shallow picture of what it is. Satan put all the forces that he had, everything he got in his power, against the birth of that child to destroy him. Now, it is intensively interesting reading to trace the scripture, the story of Satan's efforts to prevent the birth of the man Christ. That brought to my mind, now we can go through the scripture and really recall in our mind all the efforts that Satan have made to prevent the birth of Christ. I go with you. In Genesis 3, you know by heart that, verse 14 and 15, as soon as Satan had accomplished the fall of Adam and Eve, as soon as Adam and Eve fall, he found himself under the curse of God and was told that the seed of the woman should bruise his head. here is what it is. Genesis, you remember chapter 3, famous verses. Some people call the gospel in a nutshell. Genesis chapter 3, here verse 14 and 15. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and about every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And so here is the curse that God has placed on Satan. So God is telling us this. The fact that Satan found himself under the curse of God arose in an enmity of Satan, and he determined by all means to prevent the birth of the promised seed. He did not want that. So as soon as Abel was born, from whom the promised seed was to come, Satan and the daughters of men, the Cainites, and their sin and their characters of their offering moved God to destroy mankind. Remember, that was Satan's plan for it. Look at in Genesis in chapter 6. You know, if you ever pass on Genesis chapter 6, why God changed his mind so quickly. But in Genesis chapter 6, Satan has caused such a revolution and such a depravity in the heart of man, and people were living under such a depraved lifestyle that Satan even caused the initiative of God to destroy this. Look at verse 7 here in verse 8. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping things, and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I had made them. But thank God, look, the next verse, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. See, that was Satan's dream. All right, man is so evil that God needs to destroy it, and then the child cannot be born. Remember, the dragon is facing the women with the birth. And he tried, the picture is in Revelation 12, the dragon is Satan, according to verse 9, they want to stop God from bringing himself down to save us and see. So Abel was born, and trouble came in, and Satan planned for this. And Satan will have the victory. So God decided to spare the race and put what? Grace. Because verse 8 is the first time the Bible said the man found grace. And the Bible said very clearly here that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's the way we get saved. Now, no long before that, you say, well, now we got Noah. He's saved. He's wonderful. But no long before that, Noah planted a vineyard and drunk himself drunk. And he really lose it. All right? And the result was really very, very bad. One of his sons was cursed. Chapter 9 speaks of that in Genesis. And it's a long story, but you know that. In chapter 9, verse 18, I say, and the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. They are three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. And from here, remember, he got drunk, and because one son saw the father nudity, he was really cursed in that. Now, then the people began to multiply, and Satan filled their heart with pride and presumption, and really they rose and built up the Tower of Babel. Remember that? Look at chapter 11, right here you have in Genesis. And look at what the Bible said. And the whole earth was of one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, and they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwell there. And they say to one another, go to, let us make brick and burn them truly. And they had brick for stone and slime for their mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a use, a name, us a name. Let's we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. In other words, mankind said, I want to be God. All right, I cannot destroy what God did. I want to be really God. So verse 8 says, so the Lord scattered them, this abroad, from the thence upon the face of the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel. All right? So you can see Satan, that dragon, from the very beginning. That was a picture given to John from the very beginning of the earth. How Satan attacks only one thing. Satan do not want Jesus to accomplish his goal. That's it. All right? Then after this, and I'm taking these big jumps in the Bible, Abraham comes. The Lord called Abraham, and the fight narrowed down to his seed. Remember how old was Abraham? I preached the other day. Abraham was 75 years old and had no children. And God said, your seed will inherit the world. What? Your seed, see? Sarah, his wife, was 65 years of age and barren, according to Genesis 16 and verse 16. The Bible says, and Abraham was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abraham. Now, doubtless to me, Satan laughed at the situation. The God will say to this old man, the whole earth will be redeemed through the seed of this holy man. Impossible. And so Satan really laughed that God has that plan. And so God waited until Sarah, remember, was past age, until she was 90 years old, according to Genesis 17:17, and he caused her to conceive and bear a promised seed. Now, when Isaac was about 12 years of age, Satan moved God to test Abraham, remember? And they went, into the mountain to sacrifice at Mount Moriah. Now, the plan for Isaac, destruction, failed, for God saw that Abraham was faithful, and then God provided a lamb, remember? Satan was so happy when, oh boy, the promised guy is going to be finished. But God found Abraham faithful. And he said, no, Abraham, I will not destroy you. Here is a lamb. Well, what a great picture of a substitution. And you will have them. So the plan for Isaac's destruction really failed. For when God saw that Abraham was willing to obey God, he just refused to do that. Now, when Isaac grew up, remember, he married Rebekah. It's good to recall the Old Testament. And Satan, to prevent her having offspring, caused her to be barren. So there will be no descendant of the child. But Isaac prayed, and God heard his prayer, and twins were born. We can go to Genesis 25. And that, I know why science is so against the book of Genesis, because carry the whole revelation of God's powerful plan. Look at in Genesis chapter 25, verse 20 and 21. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And there were two people, of course, born in that conception. Then Satan, when they had grown up, and stir up the enmity between them, hoping that the tragedy of Cain and Abel will be again. You know why Jacob and his brother Esau will have that enmity? That was Satan's delight. And the hope of Satan was that Esau will kill Jacob like Cain killed Abel, the descendant of God's race. And that was his entire plan. So he failed, right? He absolutely failed. And so nothing can be done. Now, then also from there, I want to jump to Moses. And when Moses was born, Satan put it into the heart of Pharaoh, remember, to order that all male Hebrew children should be destroyed at birth. And his purpose being to destroy, listen what the scripture said, the male of descent altogether. But this plan was frustrated by a simple thing. The child cried. Remember? Look at how simple. Satan planned a mighty thing. We're going to destroy. Pharaoh said, go to the Hebrew women. And when she have a baby, if it's a boy, kill it. And God doesn't need an army. God doesn't need weapons. God need a little child to cry. And remember who was there? Pharaoh's daughter. And said, check the child. And they checked what it was a child. And when it was brought to her, remember what happened? The child was a Hebrew child. And rather than saying killing, she said, hey, let's bring it home. So Satan always does this. He plans something against us, and then God takes what Satan does and bring glory to him. Now, the inheritance of God's territory is in Pharaoh's home. No wonder the Bible says the dragon. Now you get a picture of that dragon revelation, how mad he is against God. So I'm in page 80 in your. And so it went on until the death of King Jehoshaphat. His son Jeroboam slew all the brethren. This is very interesting. He slew all his brethren with a sword, according to 2 Chronicles, and because the time is in, you can look the scripture in your home, according to 2 Chronicles chapter 21, 13. Thus reducing the seed royal down to one life. But Jehoram, that life, had children. Then the Arabian slew all the children but one, Joahath, in the Bible in America is called Ahaziah, and the youngest, according to 2 Chronicles. But Ahaziah had children. These, in turn, were slain by Athaliah, his mother. Remember, a mother, I'm preaching this on Mother's Day, it can be evil mother, kill all his their children, and so on. And I had no doubt that Athaliah was instigated by Satan. God never instigated to kill. And she thought she had slain them all. But God interposed and rescued the infant son at the hand of his aunt, who hid him in the temple, according to 2 Chronicles chapter 22. And for 6 years, all the hopes of God's people as to the promised seed rested upon that little baby that was hid in a closet. And Satan trying to look everywhere to look the descendants, so God cannot say this is the seed of Eve, but he cannot find it. Now, during the captivity, now going in the 70 years, Satan tried to destroy the whole Hebrew nation at the hands of Haman. Remember, I took about 4 months to preach on this beautiful book of Esther. But very little thing, a sleepless night frustrated the plan. Remember, they were all ready to kill the entire Jewish race there. And suddenly one night, I am so encouraged by how God does things that you and I cannot imagine. We are powerless. We want to make the other church building, and we want to do this, and we wait for this and the other. What is God going to use? Just an insignificant thing to do it. You remember what happened? The entire nation of Israel was to be destroyed by Haman and his people. The people of God are praying. The king cannot sleep. And so the king said, bring me the old newspaper. Have you ever had old newspaper in your home? He said, you know, cannot sleep. You go, I have old magazines. So I'll give me one of these old magazines. I want to look. So the king looked on it. What? Mordecai say the king this? How we honor this man? He called his lieutenant. He said, no, sir. Well, bring the man here. We're going to honor these people. Out of nowhere. See, Satan thinking he's bigger than God. But nobody, and the amazing thing to me, how humble is God? He used insignificant things to protect us. So listen, we are not unprotected. We are protected by the mighty hand of God. The only thing, he doesn't act like Satan with all the pomp and all the glory. God acts very smoothly, you see. And it is amazing. Satan failed to prevent the birth, and it's just amazing. Haman was destroyed, actually, and the story goes on. Now, the story goes on, and the last promised seed was born. And then Satan failed to prevent his birth, the birth of Jesus, and determined to destroy him before could reach the cross. Because once Jesus reached the cross, remember John 16, Satan is judged, and he is condemned, all right? To that end, he promoted Herod, remember, through jealousy and fear to slay all the male children at Bethlehem under 2 years of age. But Joseph, warned of God, we read it in Matthew 2:13, in a dream, he had to go to Egypt. Now, when Christ entered his ministry, Satan met him in the wilderness. Remember Matthew chapter 4, see, and suggested that he draw himself from the pinnacle of the temple. Let me go over there. It's just fascinating. Satan cannot stop Jesus to be born. And so Satan, this dragon, this serpent, never rest, my brother. You have a victory in Christ. Wait on the corner. It's coming some trouble. He is the archy enemy of God's people. But I'm not afraid. God's going to do incidental things to free me from everything. In Matthew chapter 4, the Bible tells about this story, how powerful it is. Then Jesus led up to the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And he had fast 40 days and 40 nights. He was afterward hunger. And when the tempter came, talked to him and said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And look at what Jesus said. He said, man should not live. He said, it is written. That's the weapon that you and I use to defend ourselves. So I feel sorry for churches that don't use the Bible intensively, because that's the only weapon against Satan. Man shall not live by bread alone. You think Satan will leave? No. Look at verse 5. Then the devil take him into a holy city, seated him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. In other words, I want this guy dead. And Jesus said, it is written. Again, he used the scripture in verse 7. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord. And the devil keeps on. And verse 9 say unto him, all these things will I give you. I give you my glory, my power, which he had. We learn in Revelation, the seven crowns, the seven things. I give you the glory of this world to you. And Jesus again answered, this time a little stronger. He said, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written again, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God only. And so, I imagine the frustrations of Satan as he pictured there in Revelation. Now, frustrated in that, Satan sought Christ's life over and over and over when he was alive. Now, remember the storms of the Sea of Galilee were but attempts of Satan to destroy the Lord Jesus. And what they get? Jesus walking on the water. Harder Satan push, mighty God shows to us his way. Harder Satan puts you like you are under boy. What are we going to do? Then comes God and show you the way with glory. You know, when the storm was over there, I saw the passage again. I have preached on that passage. And I look at it again, And he said, you cannot rebuke a thing. You cannot tell, I cannot tell the pulpit, stand up, or I'm not. Okay? So Jesus rebuked the storm. Is he crazy? No. See, Jesus saw Satan in the storm. So Jesus rebuked the person behind the storm. That's what I learned in Revelation. It's just mighty. Then Satan renewed the fight through the priests and to the Pharisees until he suggested that at the last and getting one Christ's own disciple to betray the Lord Jesus. Then amid the shades of Gethsemane, through physical exhaustions, he sought to kill Christ. Christ will be exhausted. He'll be on the cross. He will die. And when he last really succeeded in having Christ crucified through the agency of Pilate, the Roman governor, he thought he had conquered the entire world. But doubly sure he took good care to have the place, you know, why was suggested that the place of the burial have extra care guarding. Satan knew what was going to happen. And so he wanted to prevent it. The history of the Christian church is but one long story of irrepressible conflict between two people, Satan and God. The conflicts of our ministry is not people. Oh, Satan may use people, but it's not people. The conflict is Satan. And I, as a pastor, I have to be aware of that and reveal to that to my deacons so that we together act on Christ's name. Satan will come in flying colors, like the suggestion of the bank that we take the loan. May I talk to the CEO of the company? We have a loan for you. You don't understand. I said, you are talking. What a pleasure it was to the CEO, you know. So, oh, really? How nice. He said, you don't take loans? No. God does everything in cash. He said, when? You will see it. And when the temple is built, we will invite you. Hope you're in town and you still have a job. I said, I was a little nasty. But it is impossible to describe, impossible to reason with our mind how God operates. But he is always on top of Satan. But you need to know that Satan will look all kinds of circumstances. Now, this morning I was a little scared. When I walked through these, the church was full, and the guy take his car. He said, I'm a lawyer. He gave me the car. I said, I don't know what he wanted to do. You know, you never know. So I preach a sermon on mankind, and mankind is dead, and mankind cannot reason. That was the worst sermon for that lawyer to be here. Whatever signs you have means nothing unless you have the cross of Christ. He said, you really preach good. Oh, thank you, Lord. But you never know. You never know. Because I'm aware that Satan is always trying to disturb your marriage, try to disturb your business. We have some realtors here in the church, 3 or 4. And thank God they are picking up and selling things. And I was with Joe Bedoto encouraging him. And he was very gracious and took me to dinner for my anniversary. And I said, Joe, how's the business? Said, well, Pastor, your prayers are answered. I've sold 2 houses and 2 houses more are in escrow. I'm doing good. And I said, well, now remember the Lord, I said. Remember the Lord. So Paul, writing to the Thessalonians, said, We have come unto you, even I, Paul, once again. But Satan hindered me. Now, Lord, Paul makes Satan very, very down to earth, don't we? He said, I wish I can be with you, but Satan put so many obstacles that I was not able to do it. And now as the time draw nigh for Christ to receive the kingdom. You know, what's the next event, big event in the world? Jesus is coming. That is the greatest event. That's what I'm looking for. So Jesus is going to receive the kingdom, remember the church, and bring it to God and show it. Means that he will come back and in the clouds take his people. Remember 1 Thessalonians 4? Take his people with him. And I feel sorry for the leftover, because the end of the leftover is judgment. And I want to read it for you just to encourage you that we are not really in bad shape. Here is what is future for this world. In chapter 20 of Revelation, is starting in verse 12. After the church is with God, and we have already the Lord's Supper with the Lord and the banquet in heaven, here is the story. And I saw the dead, the small and great, they stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead, which were in it. And the dead and the hell delivered up the dead, which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And the dead and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And so Satan knows that that's the end of the story. That's the end of the trajectory of his life. And so Jesus will come back, will rescue his church, will produce the judgment of the world, and Satan will be placed in the lake of fire forever. For Satan, filled with wrath, will oppose his return with his armies, and there will be war in heaven. We're going to see it in the next event, to prevent the coming of the Lord. Now, that's the next thing in Satan's plan, is to produce a war in heaven so that he can prevent the coming of the Lord, of which you will read Satan is already destroyed in that idea. So now, going back to Revelation chapter 12, I'm going to read verse 3 and 4 again, so you get a picture, of the awesome power of this enemy of yours and mine. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns. Remember, these are the dominions of this earth. And upon his head, and his tail drew the third part of heaven, the third part of his angels with him, and did cast them to the earth. So they are here in some place. And the dragon stood before the women. These are the event of the birth of Christ, which was ready to be delivered for to devour the child as soon as it was born. In other words, he cannot stop the birth, but he wanted to take action after the birth. This is our enemy. Is he there to face God? He's facing you and me. So, Pastor, what are we going to do? 1 John 4:4. 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that is in you than the one is in the world. My brother and my sister, I am not afraid, but I'm aware that Satan is alive. And I'm aware that Satan is a dragon with power to stop our church, to stop my life, to stop our marriage. We crossed the line on 49 years. I went and opened my, when you get married in South America, at least in my time, and in my country, which back European background, they give a book picked like that, and the judge will stand. There is no marriage in the church, it's marriage in the court. It said, the duties of the wife. And boy, he reads pages and pages. She should live with the husband, obey the husband, cook for the husband, do this, everything the wife had to do. The duties of the husband. He should support his wife. The duties of parenthood. You should care for your children. You have to raise your hand. Because if your children are evil later on and do a crime, then you are penalty. Not only the child's are penalty, you are in penalty because you already swore that you're going to keep your children out of trouble. And I read the book. And I said, Lord, thank you. And then I looked for the signatures. I found my uncle. My uncle that was an accountant, public accountant, very successful man. He helped me with money many times I needed. And then I found Raquel's older brother, signature as a witness. And I cried. 49 years ago. I knew Raquel 7 years before that. And I was a soccer player. She's the one to marry a soccer player, a sportman, and so on. And South America is very bad. You're a sportman. When I came here, the first thing the pastor asked me in America, I said, what's the score? Score? The pastor is talking about football score? Is he insane? You know, that's the way I left at 25 years old. I left my successful career because the church told me that was bad. But I look into that thing and I say, boy, how faithful is God? Because of God, our life has been together. And I wonder, let's have compassion for those who have no God, you know? Have compassion, because if you have no God, you have no way. So when couples come to counsel with me and have no God, the first thing they say, we're going to do a Bible study about God and about salvation. You say, no, we're in trouble. I know we're in trouble. If I know God, I'd be in trouble like you with my wife. I have people in my office lifting up a chair and want to strike his wife. His wife wants to strike the man like that because he spent all his money. He said, no, don't do that. His head you can break, but not my chair. It's $80, my chair. Don't break it. It's just to put some... See, Satan is like that. He never rests. He wants to cause discord in the family. Little tiny things in the families will cause a big thing. And we need to come to the Lord and say, Lord, guide us. Because that dragon, I want you the lesson tonight. It's not so much in the prophecy, but it's so much in the awareness that Satan has planned to destroy God. He can. So what he does? He wants to stop God. He can. We are in the middle until we get to heaven. So whatever happened to you tomorrow or the day after, remember, Satan has planned, but God is greater. And he will make a child cry so that you can have the blessings of God. Thank you, Father, for the encouragement of your word. Here is a passage that draws obscure interpretations and weird things. But when we look into the history of the Bible, we find that what you want to tell us is to be aware that we are in this world, not yet in the new to come. And so be aware that Satan is alive. But also be aware that God is alive and have victorious plans for you and for me. And so, Father, bless us. Each one of us have need. Each one of us operate in this world. And there is mountains of obstructions and that we cannot see the way. But, Lord, you saw it. Make that child cry so that you make your way. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a fruitful and wonderful week yourself.